Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Quake. This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome you tonight. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, your host, here with my co-host, Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, in our studio in the deep woods of East Central Alabama. Anyway, we're here tonight, and we are glad that you're with us. We would hope tonight that, too, you would call some people or Facebook or email or text some people and let them know, hey, you might want to listen to this show tonight. We're going to talk about the book of Revelation. We're going to get into the seven trumpets tonight because I believe the Lord has really stirred me in the last few days and really this last week or two about the just the fact that we're 100 years now past World War I, the significance of all that. And of course, I've taught on the seals and the trumpets and the vials and the book of Revelation quite a bit, but just before we were getting ready to go on the show tonight, or a little earlier, a few hours, Book of Revelation, studying and looking into what we're going to talk about tonight, about the prophesied three world wars. And as I began to read Revelation chapter 8, the Lord gave me something that I have never seen before. And I shared it with my brothers when they got here to set up. And yes, we have all three of us in the studio tonight, so that is awesome. God has really given some revelation and some understanding. Now, I want to say this at the outset. It may go against some of the traditional teachings that you've been taught in your Bible school or that you've read in some books over the years, but I want to remind everyone of something from the book of Daniel as our introduction here. There's something that God told Daniel. Of course, I've been reading Daniel again last week or so, and God's really been speaking to me again through it. But in Daniel chapter 12, of course, he's talking about the end times, the great tribulation. He says in verse 1 that there will be a time of trouble such as there never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And so he's talking about that, and of course, we'll cover some more things in this. But as God had given Daniel many visions and revelations about the end time, and the end times when the Messiah, Jesus, would return to the earth and all the things that would happen, both bad and good. He said this to Daniel, and this is around 600 B.C., but he says this to Daniel in verse 4. He says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, this is a hint here. Of course, this is, I believe, a word that the Lord is revealing, that not everything's going to be understood until we enter those times. Seal up the book means to basically kind of hide it, make it obscure, a mystery, something that the Holy Spirit has to teach you and has to reveal to you. And then he told us, of course, seal the book until the time of the end. So that is a strong word. So I'm bringing that up for this purpose. There's a lot of people who have believed that they have the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the end time events and sequences and all the things. A lot of people out there think they've got it pretty well understood. But I want you to know something, that I've been doing this now for almost 30 years, studying this, hearing preaching and teaching on this, learning from other godly men and women, and also God giving me revelation knowledge and understanding as I studied it. And so even tonight, here I am in 2014, after almost 30 years of studying this, and still learning, and still seeing things that I didn't see, and understanding things that I didn't understand. Tonight you will understand the book of Revelation, I think, better than you ever have if you can turn loose of some of your preconceived ideas, some preconceived doctrines, because we all have been seeing through a glass darkly, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, we prophesy in part, we know in part, and we see through a glass darkly. But the Bible is clear that we really wouldn't understand certain things about end-time Bible prophecy until the end. And I believe now God is just really taking the cover off. He's revealing it. And I can honestly say, just in the last 2 years, that I have a better understanding for myself of the book of Revelation than I've ever had since becoming a pastor, a minister, an evangelist, and moving in the prophetic office. I really understand some things that I didn't get a hold of. So what I'm hoping tonight is that you can be a little open-minded and a little teachable and just be able to admit, even if you're a pastor, even if you've been a pastor longer than me and this really hadn't been an area that you've been really studying and digging into, just consider that it might not be the way that you learned 30 years ago. It might not be the way that you read in a book or, you know, in the, the Left Behind series. It might not be exactly like that. And that's okay, because you know what? We're all trying to learn and understand and grow. I just say this, if it's in the scriptures and we can confirm that, then let's let the word of God be true and every man a liar. Let's let the word of God stand tall and the doctrines of men fall by the wayside. Even if they were well-intentioned men with good intentions and good motives and taught the truth that Jesus is returning. And that's the thing that we got to look at. Hey, if a man says, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, that same Jesus will physically return to the earth and set up his kingdom on the earth, and only those who lived for him and were his disciples and believed in him and did not take the mark of the beast and didn't live in sin will be with him. Hey, I can agree with that man on that. And we're happy, because there's a lot of people that don't even believe that Jesus is going to physically return to the earth, and those people are going to be deceived by the false messiahs and the false prophets and so on and so forth. So please, tonight, just let your heart be open. And another thing, let's not look at just what's in the scriptures, but don't add to it. You know, there's a lot of people that have some ideas, and I ask them, what scripture do you base that on? They can't give me one. It's just because that's what they've always believed. They don't really know why they believe it, and they certainly can't prove it by the scriptures. But tonight, I think you're going to be amazed at some things that God has revealed concerning the end times, concerning what has been happening really over the last 114 years or so in God's revelation of moving us into the end time. And folks, we really are at the end of the end. I'm going to show you tonight that the Bible foretold World War I, World War II, some other very significant events in our history, in church history, and in the history of the world in this last century, and your mind will be blown. And your, you know, especially if you've had the traditional Left Behind, I'll say Baptist teaching of Revelation, you're going to really be challenged a little bit to understand that it's not exactly the way you've been told, and that's okay. Let's just let the word of God be true and every man a liar. Amen? I think my brothers are nodding here saying amen. Well, listen, we are going to take a quick break and come back with the news, and then we're going to get into our subject in depth. Get your Bibles. Go ahead and turn. You can go ahead and turn to the book of Daniel chapter 12 and then mark you a spot in Revelation chapter 8. We're going to spend some time camped out there, but as we get into this, we're going to bring it into the present about the Bible also tells us in the same place about the First World War, the Second World War, But it also tells us about the one coming, the third world war that we're about to enter into. And that is what you need to get a hold of for your life, Stan, that you better be ready because it's coming. But we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle. We're here in East Central Alabama, and we will be back in just a moment. Long before they called it hyper grace, the Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival today at deanodle.org. Grace is not a license to sin. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. To Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Bible prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
These are the news headlines for July 1st, 2014. Netanyahu makes good on promise to punish Hamas for the deaths of the three Israeli teens as the IDF jets light up Gaza. Israel has struck 34 targets across the Gaza Strip after more than 20 rockets were fired at them. Hamas warns the gates of hell will open in the future if any further action is taken. The Kurds say that ISIS has already captured enough U.S. arms for 200,000 soldiers. Also captured by ISIS is an arsenal of four Iraqi divisions. ISIS has declared an Islamist caliphate, so expect mass crucifixions as they now have announced themselves as an Islamic state. ISIS extremists in Syria crucified eight rebels from a rival group as fierce three-way clashes intensified. Eight men were executed in Deir Hafer, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. A ninth man was crucified for 8 hours as a form of punishment in Aleppo. ISIS now calling itself the Islamic State, and they are now demanding Muslims from around the world swear allegiance to the caliphate. They are claiming that their leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, now has authority over all Muslims. They have laid out a plan to take areas in the Middle East, in North Africa, large areas of Asia, Spain, the Balkans, Eastern Europe, up to and including Austria. The U.S. border is being overrun by massive amounts of immigrants, with some being from the Middle Eastern nations. Some have been found to have bogus passports that were originated in Belize. Increased military training or exercises at the California bases, additional sightings of UN vehicles around the country, escalating gas, oil, and food prices. What begins in the land of the River Euphrates will send not ripples, but tidal waves of consequences around the world. I'm Billy Painter, and that's your news for July 1st, 2014.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter. And you're listening to Prophecy Quake, and I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and we welcome you here tonight. I'm your host, along with Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson here in the studio with me tonight. Well, as I promised you before the break and before the news, we're going to get into our subject tonight about the Bible prophecy of three world wars in the last days, and we're going to dig into that because there's so much around it, there's so much that surrounds this issue that I think, again, you need to take off preconceived ideas and let the Word be the Word tonight. Now, I want to go back to the book of Daniel real quick because we made mention of this just a moment ago, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, when he said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So, one of the things he said that would happen at the time of the end was there would be an increase of knowledge, and that technology would begin to take massive leaps forward. And then he even gave a bigger clue here when he talked about many shall go to and fro. Now, we know something that happened in the early 1900s because I'm going to get into this and I'm going to prove my point, but I'm just going to say that I believe as we entered into the early 1900s, we entered into the time, a serious time of the last days. It was like a demarcation point that we entered into with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1906 at Azusa Street. I'm going to show you that that is in the Bible as well. This is what the Lord showed me tonight, blew my mind as we get into this. But World War One is spoken of in the book of Revelation, World War Two, and it'll just blow your mind as we get into this. And I'm going to give you the facts, and then you do with it what you will. Daniel goes on to say, and of course, well, let me back up and say this real quick. You know, knowledge and technology, and of course, we know that that was the beginning, too, of the Industrial Revolution toward the end of the 1800s, into the 1900s. We know the Wright brothers and the airplane was in that time period as well. So we began to see the technology, the telephone and things of that nature. So the beginning of this, I believe the beginning of the end, I believe the final, whatever you want to say, 120 years, 130 years, the final period, a final period started. Of course, it was also in this century, the 20th century, that we saw Israel become a nation again in 1948, the rebirth of the nation of Israel, a major prophecy of the Bible in the book of Ezekiel 36 and then Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, he was even so specific that he said that Israel would be restored back to the land a second time. Of course, we know that Isaiah was alive and prophesied around 750 B.C. So he foresaw the time that Israel would be taken by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylonian captivity, then restored about 150 years later in Daniel's time, or a little more than that, 536 B.C. And then he saw that there would be another time that the children of Israel would be dispersed to the nations and not be a nation, and that God would bring them back a second time, and that literally the book of Isaiah in Isaiah 11 says that he would bring them back the second time, and they would be an ensign to the nations. Now, that's a King James word for a sign. It literally means in the Hebrew a flag or a signal. So I saw that as I looked into the Hebrew in Isaiah chapter 11, that Israel getting a flag again, becoming a nation again, would be a sign to the nations of the world. And, of course, you can go and read Isaiah chapter 11 for yourself later on. But amazing prophecies coming to pass in the 20th century, and now we've moved into the 21st century, and I'm telling you, we are nearing the last 7 years as we know it. And so, again, he told Daniel, we see in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 12, he said, "And I heard, but understood not. Then I said, Oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." So God said that in the end, the words would be sealed. They would be hidden. They would not be fully understood or disclosed until the time of the end. He said the wicked. Now, that could be a whole lot of people, Christians and and non-Christians alike. Live in sin and evil and wickedness against God's commandments, then it says you're not going to understand these things. But it says if you're wise, and a wise man obeys the commandments of God, wisdom, the fear of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the wise, he said, would understand. And the wise are those who have the Holy Spirit speaking to them and digging into the Word. And God promised that the wise would understand in that time of the end what these prophecies mean. So tonight, I promise you, you're about to get an understanding of some things that you've never had an understanding of. All right? So let's jump now. We're going to jump back, and we're going to go to the book of Revelation. So turn in to the book of Revelation, and we're going to do that right here. And we're going to go to Revelation chapter 8. We don't have time tonight to cover all of the seals, but I am going to have to mention some of the seals first before we get into the trumpets, because if you don't understand what I'm about to tell you about the seals and the trumpets and the vials, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand the book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to give you the short version here as best I can. But the traditional teaching on the seals and the trumpets and the vials is that they're all sequential in the sense, or chronological in the sense, you have the seven seals first, they're going to happen. Then you're going to have the seven trumpets happen. And then you're going to have the seven vials of wrath happen. Now, that's the way I always thought it was, too, because that's the way I heard it taught by every preacher on TV and when I went to my Assembly of God churches that I attended in back in the day. And, you know, again, that was just the normal understanding of that. But we have a problem, and I remember reading this, and when I began to study, and I remember one time I was fasting, and the Lord had me fasting for 7 days, and on the fifth day, he told me to go read Matthew 24. Well, when I went to read Matthew 24, I had read it many times. I thought I had a good grip on it. But again, that idea that we think we know because we've studied something or we've read something in the Bible numerous times and we think we got it. And folks, can I just tell you that you don't have it all. Don't ever think that you know it all or you understand it all or you have it all. Because God can illuminate things and make things clear that are not exactly clear. And it's okay if God and the Holy Spirit, or he uses somebody to tweak our understanding a little bit so that it's more biblical. Well, this is what God was doing with me, because back in 1989, and I've shared this on a previous program, but I believed in the pre-trib rapture, just giving you an idea. That's what I believe, not really because I understood it as a doctrine from studying the Bible. I just heard that preached so many times by so many different preachers that I, you know, it just got drilled in me that that's the way it was. Well, God was getting ready to shake my world up and use me to shake people's worlds up for a long time to come, because he got me to read Matthew 24. And as I began to read Matthew 24, I read through it and, you know, I didn't see anything special. And so the Lord began to deal with me, and as I read through it, and I said, I'm not getting it. And he said, read it again. And then I read it again. I still didn't get it. Read it again. Read it again. So this happened several times. So finally, about the fifth time through, I got down to verse 29, where it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give off its light, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and the Lord himself will come, and the angels will come, and then with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. And I'm sitting there, and I go, that's the rapture. That's the rapture, because we just read in Matthew 24. You read in Matthew 24. I said, I just read it. Jesus says, this is the beginning of sorrows. Then this happens. Then this happens. Then the abomination of desolation steps in the holy place. That's the Antichrist. He said, then they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and they will kill you. He says, then will be great tribulation, such was not since there was a time. So here we're into this thing, and there's no rapture mentioned by Jesus when he's giving this chronological account. So then I get to chapter, you know, the verse 29, and I see it. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And so then I see the angel with the sound of a trumpet and God gathering his elect from the four winds, and I said, there's the rapture. And the Lord said, immediately after. And I know there's people that still won't agree with me and not believe it, but chapter 5 and 6 and 7, and we start looking at the seals. Now, if you believe, like the traditional teaching is, if you believe that there's going to be seven seals open first, I believe that's the way it happens, you have a problem with the scripture. No, I've done an extensive teaching on the first four seals. I believe those are spirits, and I believe we're into and under the influence of those spirits. The fifth seal is the martyrs, and then he tells him there's going to be more martyrs. So I believe we're even in that time with what we're seeing in the Middle East. There's been a wave of martyrdom, and I believe those martyrs' blood is crying out to the Lord. But he's saying, hold on more. But then we see something. That's the fifth seal. And then we see the sixth seal. And this is what he says about the sixth seal. He says, and I beheld, and this is Revelation 6, verse 12, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven is departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved to their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of wrath, who shall be able to stand? Now, we're going to turn back here. We're going to hold our spot here, but I'm going to go back and read the account in Matthew 24, word for word, when he says immediately after the tribulation of those days, and show you that Matthew 24, 29, 30, and 31 is the sixth seal. It's the second coming of Jesus, and it's the exact same description in Revelation 6 about the sixth seal as it is in Matthew 24. And we're going to go over there, Matthew 24, going old school, turning in my Bible. And here's what he says here. This is Matthew 24. We'll just go on and skip down to verse 29, where Jesus said this. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, that's exactly what we just read. Revelation 6, he says, the sun became dark, the moon did not give off its light, and stars fell from heaven to the earth, shaken of a mighty wind, like it's shaken of a mighty wind. So we go back to Matthew 24. The moon shall not give off a light, sun will be darkened, the stars shall fall. It's the same event. He says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. So that's where we see the kings of the earth saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb. They mourn when they see him coming. And he says here, and he, verse 31, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. So folks, here we have a problem. If you believe seven seals, then seven trumpets, then seven vials, you got a problem, because the seventh seal, the sixth and seventh seal is the end. It is the second coming of Jesus. It is the rapture. When the rapture happens, I believe in a post-tribulation rapture, not because I heard some preacher preach it or because I just try to be difficult theologically. It's just what I see Jesus taught, and it's what I see in the scriptures. But the bottom line is, it can't be the seven seals and the seven trumpets. It can't be seven seals first, then seven trumpets. It can't be that way, because the sixth seal and the seventh seal is the end. Matter of fact, the sixth seal is really the end. The seventh seal is just a moment of silence, 30 minutes of silence in heaven, because I think everybody's just shocked. It's the second coming of Jesus, and every mouth is stopped as he begins to judge the earth. And that's why in Revelation 6 we see every mountain is moved, every island is moved out of its place. I mean, this is the great day of his wrath. The judgment of God has come. Jesus has returned to the earth. And that's when the rapture happens. There's not a secret rapture that happens. The rapture comes at the second coming of Jesus. There's not a third coming of Jesus, okay? There's not Jesus coming in the cloud 7 years before and then coming a third time at the end. So, again, that may challenge the views that you've had, the pre-tribulation rapture views. You know, you got to still love me if you think I'm wrong. But here's the, again, my point is, what do we see here? We see the end at the sixth seal and the seventh. Well, you see the same thing at the final trumpet. At the seventh trumpet, it says it is done. It's finished. The mystery of God is finished. We'll read that in just a second. It's interesting that when you get to the seventh vial, it says the same thing. It is done. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So here's the mystery of the book of Revelation. The seven seals are a long story. They tell a longer story over a longer period of time, but they end at the second coming of Jesus. The trumpets are a shorter story, but the sixth and seventh trumpet is the end and the second coming of Jesus. And that's why Paul said the rapture was at the last trump. Okay? And I'm going to show you that in a second. The only set of sevens between the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, the only set that we see that we're told by Scripture we know when they happen, is the vials. And we're told by the book of Revelation that the seven vials of wrath happen in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Okay? Of that 7-year period. So when people tell me, no, I believe that we're going to have seven seals and then seven trumpets, and I'm going to, you know, that, and they tell me, oh, yeah, they tell me that all that's going to happen in the last 7 years. And I say, where does it say that? Where does the Bible, the Word of God, where does it say they're all going to happen that way? It doesn't. You've just been taught that. It's just an assumption by Bible preachers and Bible teachers and you know what? We've all made assumptions at one point or another. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad if you've been wrong about something. I've been wrong about things, and God's had to teach me and change me. But the bottom line is you got to be willing to change when you find out, you know, what scripture is that based on?
Exactly.
It's not. All right? Well, we won't get into the seals. See, I believe the seals began in the first century. These spirits began writing, and it's brought us up to the present. Now, I believe we're at the fifth seal. But now I'm going to blow your mind and tell you that I believe these trumpets have overlapped, and I believe the first trumpet started in 1914. I'm going to prove that, and that we are already through five of the trumpets blown. The next trumpet to be blown will be the sixth trumpet, and then as we get into the last 7 years, at the midpoint, we'll see the vials of wrath begin. But the sixth and seventh seal will end at the second coming of Jesus at Armageddon. The seventh trumpet will be blown, and there will be at Armageddon at the second coming of Jesus, and that's the rapture, the last trumpet, and then the seven vials of wrath at the last vial of wrath. That is, it is done. It is the end. So everything culminates. So what you have in the seals and the trumpets and the vials is you have three different stories about the second coming of Jesus, giving us different events and clues and ideas. They overlap one another, but they all end at the same exact place and time. Okay? Now, you can disagree with me if you want, but then you got a problem, again, with it doesn't end according to you, it doesn't end at the, you know, if you believe the traditional view, it doesn't end at the sixth seal and the seventh seal. So let's go on. Now we're going to go into the trumpets here. And as we get into this, I'm going to prove my points. Now, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Some of this that got me thinking along these lines about the first trumpet and the second trumpet and the third trumpet, I have to give credit where credit is due. I saw Irvin Baxter. He's a prophecy teacher that's been doing this for a very long time on TV when I was laid up with my Achilles injury. And he got me going down this road. Now, he and I disagree on what the fourth and the fifth trumpet are, God had given him some revelation and some understanding. Doesn't mean I agree with him on everything. He probably wouldn't agree with me on everything. But I learned from him. So I give some credit where credit is due. And I researched it for myself and proved what, you know, like a good Berean should, to prove what he was saying was true. You know, especially Kevin was with me during that time period. And you saw me do the digging, didn't you, to make sure that it was true. And I looked up verifications that I didn't even hear Brother Irvin Baxter even give, you know, in his thing, to make sure that these things were so. So let's do this. We're going to read a little bit of Revelation chapter 8 here, getting into the trumpets, and then we're going to look at what number 3 is. We're going to look at what number 2 is, and then we're going to back up, and then we'll go forward. I know it sounds weird, but you need to see it that way so you'll believe what I'm telling you. And, of course, I have a video that's on YouTube. I taught this at the, at least part of this. There's something new tonight. But I taught this at our first Bible prophecy conference in 2012 called End Times Revealed. You can go to Dean Odle on YouTube. Just search my name. You'll see the seals and the trumpets, and you can get that. I think it's an hour and 45 minutes or so. You can get the whole teaching on that. So I'm going to be repeating some of that tonight, but with a little bit newer information, some new stuff, and then we're going to get into where we are, because a lot of people don't know this. But we're going to go down. Let's read. I want to flip over here to Revelation chapter 8, and let's start reading at verse 1 here. And he said, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So he ends with the seals right there. He doesn't say this is sequential. He doesn't say, he just says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having the golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures that were in the sea that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star was Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and the key was given him to the bottomless pit. Well, let's just keep reading. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the earth, hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had the hair of women, and their teeth was as it were teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings is the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. Very key point, 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Turn the page. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, or 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire and by smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their tail, in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and of gold and silver and of brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And then, of course, I want to read over, and we'll go over to when it says, verse 7 in chapter 10, he says, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he sounds, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants, the prophets. So again, we see at the sixth and seventh seal, we see the end. At the seventh seal here, we see the end. So we see that these things have to overlap. But now let's back up. We're going to look at the third trumpet first because this one is so amazing. And this is what Brother Irvin Baxter shared first that got my attention. And, of course, I looked into it and did some research. A lot of people say, well, these things hadn't happened. Oh, well, maybe they have. You just hadn't been paying attention to history. Maybe these things have snuck up on you. Like, I think Jesus said something about them coming like a thief in the night, you know. So let's look at the third trumpet first, and then we'll work our way backwards and then forwards again. All right, the third trumpet, he says, is this right here. We'll go down to verse 10. This is Revelation 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, first of all, a lot of people read into things that are not there. Does it say that this is worldwide? It just says a third part of the waters. If we say it's worldwide, then we have to assume that it's worldwide because it doesn't say it. Maybe it's the region where it happened, this event happens, a third part of the waters there were made bitter. But again, you say, well, you're assuming. Well, I say, well, you can't assume that it's worldwide because it doesn't say it. But let's just see something. A serious clue is given here, all right? Because he says the name of the star is Wormwood, and that something about this star or this thing called Wormwood contaminated waters and killed many men. Doesn't say all men, but killed many, many, many people. Well, I believe that the third trumpet sounded on April 26, 1986. It was Chernobyl. And you say, why? You know, why would you base that? Of course, Chernobyl in Pripyat, Ukraine. All right. Isn't it interesting that this stuff, Ukraine, once again, is in the news. But Ukraine was the site of Chernobyl. There's a town there called Chernobyl. And Chernobyl was the worst nuclear accident in history. Now, Fukushima may eclipse it as we move on. But the bottom line is Chernobyl is one of the worst nuclear accidents. It affected over 17 million people. I remember even recently seeing that there were places in Wales and England that were, you know, here we are 20-something years later, still contaminated, and then they cleared a few farms to be used again. But the radiation went all over Europe. It contaminated rivers and streams and farms as far as Wales, and many, many people died in it, and really, in reality, many people are still dying that were radiated or, you know, were born with birth defects and things from I believe it was cesium-137. But anyway, here's how we know, though, that this is wormwood. This is what is the amazing fact, and you can do a little research here, but if you look at the word, the English word, wormwood, and you go to a Ukrainian dictionary, remember this happened in the Ukraine, right? So you go to a Ukrainian dictionary and put in wormwood. I did this. Matter of fact, the picture I have up here on my computer is the screenshot I took from my iPhone when I looked up the Ukrainian dictionary online. I typed in the word wormwood, hit translate. Guess what the word was? Chernobyl. In Ukrainian, the word for wormwood in English is Chernobyl. A Ukrainian reading the book of Revelation would say the name of the star, you know, as in his language, of course, but he would say the name of the star is Chernobyl. You can check me out if you want to. Got to remember, you got to be careful. Some of the dictionaries have taken that and changed it because they don't want it to tie back to the Bible. If you email me or Facebook me, I might even post the picture of the screenshot that I took just so you can see it for yourself that no funny business has been going on. But I found out when truth starts getting out, some of these trolls out there on the Internet start, erasing information. So I have it, but you may can still find it yourself. So we see that the third trumpet, and we believe it because it says wormwood is Chernobyl. We know that the waters, it poured down rain right after that. I mean, there's just massive contamination that happened. So here's the deal. If the third trumpet is Chernobyl, that happened in 1986, then we got to back up. Let's back up and look at the second trumpet. That means the second trumpet would have had to happen before 1986. Simple logic. So we look, and it says the second angel sounded, and this is verse 8 in chapter 8 of Revelation. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures that were in the sea and that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, that gets pretty clear, right? A great burning mountain fall into the sea, a third part of creatures in the sea died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, what could have happened before 1986 that would cause a third part of the ships to be destroyed and much of the sea life, a great portion of sea life destroyed? Well, it's kind of easy. Before 1986, the only event that could have done that is World War II that happened from 1939 to 1945. Well, here's where it gets a little creepier. All right? You do a little research, and I verified this again, went to Wiki Answers, just boom, popped up, took another screenshot with my phone just to make sure that we had the truth. But here are the facts. During World War II, including the navies, the various navies that were involved and the many merchant ships that were sunk and the many ships that we lost, it's all been documented, right? So here's the deal. There were 105,127 ships involved in World War II. And guess how many were sunk or destroyed? Anybody want to guess? Oh, yes. 36,387 were destroyed or sunk. If you do the math, it comes out to 0.34, and of course, one-third is 0.33, repeating. Exactly one-third of the ships were destroyed in World War II. Now, folks, that is so specific that it cannot be ignored. Exactly. Amen?
Amen. Definitely.
Now, let's look at a couple of the other facts. You say, well, let's look at the other details. Well, one of them, it says, he said, I saw, as it were, a burning mountain fall into the sea. Okay? What in our present world looks like a burning mountain falling, that could fall from the sky and look like a burning mountain? Anybody know? A nuclear bomb. Or, of course, back then, what we called them, the atom bomb. During World War II, at the end of World War II, the United States dropped the first two atom bombs, and we dropped them on a little island out in the middle of the ocean. And I can just see John having this vision from a distance and it looking like this thing dropping out of the sky and hitting what he may have seen, the island, or he may have just looked like it was falling into the sea, because Japan is just a little sliver out there. But he saw this burning mountain. Now, something that happened during that time period and right thereafter, as we had been testing nuclear weapons, these atomic weapons, and then we started a massive in 1946, 1947, and so on, we began testing our nuclear weapons out in the ocean under the water. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen the pictures of, like, back in the old days when they'd throw a piece of dynamite in a pond. What happens? A whole bunch of fish float to the top, dead, right? Can you imagine what happened when the United States, Russia, England, France, and all these other countries began testing nuclear weapons in the ocean under the water? We cannot fathom how much sea life died from the initial explosion and the radiation and things of that nature. So, again, I'm telling you, I believe that the second trumpet sounded between 1939 and 1946, 1947. What's interesting is that took us up to another major prophecy, 1947, what began to happen? Israel began to become a nation. The wheels were in motion. And then in 1948, of course, they became a nation. So we have this third trumpet. We have the second trumpet. Now, let's back up. If the third trumpet is Chernobyl in 1986 and the second trumpet is obviously World War II in 1939 to 1945, and again, you know, you think these would be serious events because when you talk about it affecting 17 million people like Chernobyl did, plus really probably many more, and then you look at World War II, we have over 52 million people dead, the Holocaust with Hitler and everything else, the atom bomb. These are major events in history. Why would the God of creation, who says, I tell you things before they happen so that when they happen you will believe, why would he not tell us these things? But again, remember what we read in Daniel to begin with, that he put them in here, but he put them in such a way that we really wouldn't see it, we really wouldn't get it, right, until... If we have the third trumpet in 1986 and then the second trumpet in 1939 to 1945, then the first trumpet had to happen before that. So what other event would have had to happen before World War II? Well, there was what was called the Great War, the first war where, you know, we had not had a war where a million people died. And then World War I comes along, and we have over 8 million die in a war. It was for 4 years, 1914, 1918. Devastating war, right? Well, we don't have a real detailed hint, except if we read about the first angel sounded, and it said, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Of course, I've done my research, of course, and again, I believe that this is not all green grass and all trees in all the world, but that in the region where the war was fought, if you go back and look at old World War I pictures, you see very few trees left in those battlefields, and those battlefields, no grass, burn up, dirt, mud, and of course, their main weaponry that they used in that time was artillery, and so that's why you talk about hail. Hail is something that falls from the sky, and then it blows up, there's fire mingled with blood. But I believe that the first trumpet was World War I, the second trumpet was World War II, the third was Chernobyl. But now, here's the new thing that God showed me, and I'm going to share this, and then we'll take a short break, and we'll come back in just a second. But let's back up, because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me confirmation. I'm just asking him this week, give me confirmation that this is... the 20th century you're talking about here in Revelation 8. Just give me, you know, just give me another clue. It's not that I doubt these things, but, you know, there are people out there, they just, you know, you almost can't give them enough information, right? So today, right, I'm going back to this. I've read it many times, many, many, many times over the years, and I've read this passage and read this passage and read this passage, but I went to Revelation 8 and started reading, and it was like something... I'm missing something here. There was something that happened before 1914, and there's something that happens here because the first trumpet, World War I, is talked about here in verse 7, but that means there's six verses before we get there, right? So let's look at it, and I'm going to share with you what God blew my mind with today when the Holy Spirit revealed this, and when I shared it with my brothers here, they were like, oh, man. If you want confirmation that something changed at the turn of the 1900s, and as we moved in to 1906 in particular, I'm going to show you something that happened here. Let's read this again. We're going to go to verse 2 because verse 1 is finishing up the seals. Verse 2, he said, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having the golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And he took the censer and he filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightning and an earthquake. Now, as I read this, and for those of you who are not Pentecostal, you know, I want to say that I don't have a problem. If you don't speak in tongues and you don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's your business. But don't tell me it's not Bible, because it's Bible. I believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is of God. I believe the nine gifts of the Spirit are still for us today. I operate in those gifts, prophetic gifts. I have the gift of tongues. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 1987. I have the true gift of tongues from the Holy Spirit. I have the gift of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge. The gifts of the Holy Spirit flow. Well, as I am reading this, of course, I know that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit came and baptized those believers, those 120 in the upper room, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire. Fire set upon them, and it was seen. It was visible. It was a spiritual thing, but it was also seen in the physical, by physical eyes. A fire came upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues. And you know, some say it was just other languages, no, that they didn't learn. No, the Bible's clear that the gift of tongues can be other languages you didn't learn, but it's also the tongues of angels. It's a supernatural gift given by the Holy Spirit. He gives the utterance, and we do the speaking, but it is a supernatural. And I want to say this. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you need to, because it is a powerful gift in prayer, in worship, in communication with God. It's not weird. It's Bible. It's what Jesus taught. But that's for another show at some point here. But listen to what I'm saying. I was reading this, and because I've studied revival history and church history, when I read this, I realized I knew about the great Pentecostal revival, the Azusa Street Revival in 1906 in Los Angeles, California, this great revival that happened out there where God poured out His Spirit on a mission where the power of God came down, and God restored the gift, the Pentecostal gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church in a way. You know, there have been a few people. You know, a lot of people don't know that Charles Finney spoke in tongues in the 1800s. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, John Wesley spoke in tongues as well. We have their writings, but it wasn't, it still had been held back from the church at large. It had kind of been lost over time. The Dark Ages and the Roman Catholic Church had kind of, you know, squashed all truth out of the church. And so truth had to be restored. Well, when I'm reading this, I'm realizing, is this the Azusa Street Revival, right? So I start looking at these words, and it says that the angel took the prayers of the saints. Well, anybody that knows church history knows that in the mid-1800s through the late 1800s and into the 1900s, there was a great prayer movement in America and really around the world. And that's why you had the Welsh Revival take place in 1904 to 1905. And then, of course, the great Azusa Street Revival that birthed the Pentecostal movement in America and then spread it throughout the world. And of course, the Pentecostal movement became the fastest growing and most powerful segment of the church in the 20th century. I mean, that's just facts. You cannot like it if you're Baptist or Methodist, but that's just the facts, the way it is, okay? Because of the power of God, healing in Jesus' name, casting out demons, flowing in the gifts, learning to flow in the prophetic and discernment and all those things. It was good. Now, do we have a lot of counterfeit and a lot of faults and a lot of goofy stuff now? Yes. But just because somebody gives you a fake dollar bill doesn't mean you throw out your real money, okay? I got some real money. I got the real thing here, okay? So I'm not throwing it out. But here's the deal. Look what he says, and I'm going to prove it here. It says, and the angel took the censer. This is verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire. This is the altar of God in heaven. This is the fire of God. This is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So God took his fire, the Holy Spirit, from heaven and cast him into the earth. Now look at the first thing it says. There were voices. Voices, plural. This is when it really hit me that this was the Azusa Street Revival in 1906, because when I looked up the word voices in the Greek, it was the Greek word phoné, and one of the words that it could be defined was tongues, languages. Oh, my God. Not one language, not one tongue. It said voices or languages, tongues were cast. So the fire of the Holy Spirit was cast down to the earth. Tongues, languages came with it, And here's the clincher. He says there were thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. That means one particularly significant earthquake. Well, guess what? The Azusa Street revival began, the power of God fell, the Holy Spirit fell at Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, on April the 9th of 1906. 9 days later, there was a massive earthquake in San Francisco, California, a 7.8 that killed over 30,000 people and destroyed most of San Francisco. I looked these things up today. Within a two-week period in 1906, the fire of God falls on Azusa Street that spread the Pentecostal tongues, languages, voices all over the United States. John G. Lake took it to Africa. Others took it back to England and all over the world now. Every true Pentecostal tongue-speaking believer can trace themselves back to the Azusa Street revival. I mean, powerful. I come from that. My great-grandfather, my great-aunts went to meetings in the 1930s. The first Pentecostal meetings in this area of Alabama were little Brush Arbor meetings, and they were led by people who had been at the Azusa Street revival.
Amen. That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That is.
And they took me when I was 4 and 5 years old and 6 years old to the First Assembly of God Church here in Opelika, Alabama. And I remember hearing tongues when I was 4 and 5 years old, and I knew it was God then because the presence of God and the power of God touched me. And I'll tell you, I'm an unashamed Pentecostal tongue-speaking power of God, power of Jesus believer.
Amen.
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 So I want to say, listen to me. This is scripture, and this is shown that these things have happened. Basically, what God has been doing, his prophecies are being fulfilled, and he's sneaking up on us, like he said, like a thief in the night, like he would in the last days. I'm going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle. I know I really hadn't let my brother speak, but we are going to get into this. We've got a caller. We'll get you right after the break. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment.
You can search Dean Odle on iTunes or go to blogtalkradio.com/Dean Odle and go to archive episodes.
Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Right, we're back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odle, along with Billy Painter and Kevin Wilkinson, and we welcome you back. We have a caller. I'm sorry for the long wait. We will get you on. It's the 423 prefix here. We're going to take your call here. You're on Prophecy Quake. Who am I speaking with tonight? Hello, are you there? Hello? Okay, seem to be having some technical difficulty there, but we will move on. Matter of fact, while we're on the subject, we are here for your calls, for your questions. You can call the number if you're on your computer, if you're on your phone, but the number up there, guest call in, 347-884-8566. That's 347 888-484-8566. And we did want to take some calls tonight and answer some questions or hear your comments. So call in, and we will get to you as quickly as we can. Brothers, I went long there and wasn't trying to hog it, but there was just no other way. And, of course, we're going to get into the other trumpets 4 and 5 in just a second and then look at 6 and where we're going. I think we got enough time to do it tonight. But, I mean, what do you guys, you know, what do you would like to chime in and add?
Well, the thing that gets me, and first off, I want to personally thank you for pointing out this bit of scripture here in Revelation 8. We all know that the Bible is a living, breathing, inerrant source of all things for us. And it always amazes me that nobody, it doesn't matter how many times we read different passages, in time, the Holy Spirit will show us new things. And this tonight, when we sat down earlier this evening before the show, this is just, talk about being edified. Talk about being recharged. Talk about just being excited. This to me is excellent. Once again, I want to personally thank you for pointing that out, because the Lord spoke to you and pointed you to this. And people, honestly, this is something, this broadcast tonight, listen to it. And like Dean always says, go back to the Word of God. And you're going to be completely amazed from a prophetic standpoint of how these things are playing out right before our very eyes in a day-to-day basis. And it's all contained right here in the Holy Bible.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I appreciate it, brother.
But I'll tell you this. You know, it was the Lord. If he doesn't lighten your mind and reveal it and teach you and understand, but I, you know, it just, my mind's blown. I'm blown because I see here I thought I knew the Bible too pretty well. And then I'm like, God, I've read this many times. I knew about the Azusa Street Revival since I became a Christian. It never clicked, never hit. But folks, understand this right here. You have a clear picture of God pouring out his Spirit. And let me just point this out. In Acts chapter 2, I shared this with Pastor Billy and Pastor Kevin earlier today. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his Spirit, sent his Holy Spirit fire and tongues and on the church and baptized them in the Holy Ghost. Right after that, Peter stood up and preached and he said, "These are not drunk as ye suppose." He said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," and he went on to say how God would said he would pour out his Spirit in the last days, and your sons and daughters would prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Well, what's beautiful about this, the outpouring of the Spirit, is he tied the day of Pentecost for the early church. He tied that to the book of Joel. Well, if you go back to the book of Joel in chapter 2, he talks about God would send the rain. The former rain and the latter rain, okay? Now, what's even more beautiful about that, and this just hit me. He said he would send the former rain and the latter rain. He said he would send that latter rain in the first month. Well, this was the Azusa Street Revival happened in April. Guess what usually happens in April? Passover. And according to the Old Testament, the month of Nisan, the month Passover was in the time of Moses, was the first month for Israel. And that's why Israel really has two kind of new years that they have. But here's what's beautiful. The former rain and the latter rain. God poured out his Spirit on the church, right, to begin the church. And he promised he would pour out his Spirit too. There would be a latter rain. He would pour out his Spirit on an end times church. Hear me what I'm saying, people. That started for the End Times Church in 1906 at Azusa Street. And think about how close we are now to the end of everything. So we see 1906, and here's what's amazing. We see the great Azusa Street Revival here in Revelation 8, verse 5, When the angel takes the fire from the altar, and the fire from the altar is the fire of the Holy Ghost, cast it to the earth, and there are voices, tongues, languages cast down to the earth. I don't even have time to go into thunderings and lightnings. But then when he says an earthquake, and then a 7.8 earthquake in California, in San Francisco, that levels the place, and that earthquake, the writer, one of the early participants and one of the early guys that really prayed the Azusa Street Revival through was Frank Bartleman, and he wrote the book, and he was an intercessor, and he was part of the revival, and he wrote the book about the Azusa Street Revival, and he said that it was that earthquake is what really humbled the people of that region of California and even church people. It really humbled people because it got people's attention, and he had written a tract about it, that it was the judgment of God. It was the wrath of God. He was exactly right, because it was a warning. It was a warning to the wicked. It was a warning that at any moment, at any point in time, God can bring forth his judgments. He can take his hand off and let Satan and our enemies attack us. That God is our source, and that we cannot be sinful and wicked and rebellious and disobedient to his commands and lukewarm and rejecting, you know, following him, that the judgments will begin to happen. He said, and that was, he said, actually, you know, when that earthquake happened, that caused many people to come to the Lord. And there's a prophet, I mean, there's a word in the prophet Isaiah chapter 26, I believe it's verse 9 and 10, where he says, when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, the people will learn righteousness. I mean, when God really starts to shake the place and allow some bad stuff to happen, that, you know, people finally start humbling themselves and say, you know what, I need to give up my sin. I need to get away from the wrath of God for my sin and get in the mercy of God by confession and repentance and humility and saying, God, forgive me, and I turn from my sins. And so a great revival. See, this is what a lot of people don't really know, how great the Azusa Street Revival was. So many people went there over, it lasted over 3.5 years, and so many people went there from all over the country and all over the world, and then got filled with the Holy Spirit, touched with the anointing of God, got sin out of their lives, got on fire for Jesus, and took the gospel and took the Pentecostal message of being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the power of God, believing in dreams and visions, and that God still speaks to us today, that tongues are real, interpretation of tongues is real. That spread all over the world, and that's why, you know, is the fastest part of the fastest growing part of the church in Central and South America, Africa. I've been to Africa, in two different parts of Africa myself, Nigeria and the Mauritius Island out there, and seeing the power of God, people speaking in tongues, the supernatural, seeing the healing power of Jesus, casting demons out of people, and all of this can be traced back. You know, the Assemblies of God denomination, the Church of God, they all find their roots. Those largest Pentecostal denominations find their roots in the great Azusa Street Revival. And so, but what's amazing is you get to verse 6 and he says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Meaning, there's this little gap between 1906 and 1914. There's a little 8-year gap. The angels were preparing, but there was revival in the land. And listen, I believe God gives us a little grace before the wrath, before the judgments come. And America, we've had it. We had the Brownsville Revival in the 1990s that went into the 2000s. You know, the great evangelist of that revival, Steve Hill, just passed away. I went to that revival many, many nights. I lived in Montgomery, Alabama, about 150 miles away from Pensacola, Florida. I drove down many, many weeks, consecutive weeks. Sometimes I go down, spend 2 or 3 days, go back home, preach on Sunday, and go back down again. A friend of mine was on staff there. I got to see the real thing. And I want to add this. I am longing to see that again.
Oh, amen.
In this hour and this day, a true revival. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, again, we mentioned it last week, but we're not about just the gloom and doom, the bad stuff. I mean, the bad stuff's coming. The wicked will be judged, the backsliders, the church, judgment will come to the church. You know, we have that in 1 Peter 4. I've said, you know, that he'll visit the house of God first with his judgments. American church and American Christianity is in big trouble. We're going to be judged. America's going to be judged severely But in that, I believe we're going to see another great outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, because I believe a lot of things, especially with Americans, are about to get stripped away. The economic collapse, we're going to have the terror attacks, the false flag attacks, we're going to have all kind of crazy stuff going on because they've got to tear down America to build the new world order and the world government and the Antichrist come into power and all that. That's got to happen. But when that, you know, it starts getting dark, you know, you can see the light of your flashlight even better. And God's going to have a church. It may be a remnant church, maybe a bunch of house churches.
You know, one of the coolest things, I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there that are listening to our broadcast right now that may not be aware of what Azusa Street was all about. The cool thing about that was it actually started off as just a little Bible study in a person's home, a simple home. And when the Holy Spirit overtook these people, it grew and grew and grew into something tremendous. And that's going to happen again. In these times that we're living in right now, where you're going to see more and more home churches and smaller venues start up, it may be in a Bible study somewhere, but the fire is going to fall again, folks. So as Dean just said, you know, it's not all about doom and gloom. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you know that there will be a falling away. There's going to be a great apostasy, and the fakers and the posers will be exposed. But there is going to be a great, great outpouring of fresh anointing and fresh fire and a great revival.
Amen. Amen. Do you have anything?
Let's jump into, since we got about 30 minutes left, let's jump into the fourth and fifth and sixth trumpets. And we're going to try to do them as quickly as we can because you're going to be amazed at this as well. And again, don't read into it because... Remember I said there's a prophecy of three world wars. Well, we saw the first trumpet is definitely World War I, sandwiched between the 1906 Azusa Street Revival, the great earthquake in San Francisco, California, sandwiched between that and what we know for sure is World War II with 52 million people dead, the atom bomb, the great mountain of fire, one-third of the ships destroyed. There's no question now that we know that the first trumpet was World War I, the second trumpet was World War II, and because of the word wormwood being translated in Ukrainian, being translated from English to Ukrainian, is Chernobyl. So we know that the third trumpet was the greatest nuclear accident in the history of the world, Chernobyl. Let's move to the fourth trumpet, and here's what it says in Revelation 8:12. He says, "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Now that's all that's said about this trumpet. It doesn't say that it's worldwide. It doesn't say how wide this region is or anything else. But let's just look at it logically for a second. This angel sounded, and it says a third part of the sun was smitten. That means that part of the sun's light was blocked, but not all of it, okay? That means a third part of the moon's light was blocked. So that means that this, whatever was blocking the sun in the day, also blocked the light of the moon at night and the stars. So there was something in the air, something blocking out the sun, blocking out the moon, the light of the stars, but not completely. Okay? We can't read into it that it's worldwide because it doesn't say that it's worldwide. That's all it tells. We can't assume. But one thing we can say is, okay, if the third trumpet, Chernobyl, Wormwood, happened in 1986, then this event would have to take place after 1986. Was there an event in the world, a massive event, that took place that partially blocked out the sun, moon, and stars in a large region? Was there an event that happened? Now, of course, my brothers know because they've heard me preach on this. Yes, there was an event that happened, and it was in 1991, and it was called the Gulf War. Now, what's interesting about this, in 1991, you know, some of you may be too young to remember the Gulf War. I remember exactly what I was doing when it began. I was living in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was preaching every Monday night at the federal prison there that was on Maxwell Air Force Base, so I would go out Monday night and preach to the federal prisoners. And I remember when it started, and of course, the base security tightened and all that happened. But in 1991, Saddam Hussein of Iraq set 700 Kuwaiti oil wells on fire and planted landmines around them. They burned from February to November of 1991. They caused widespread pollution. As a matter of fact, it's one of the greatest acts of pollution ever perpetrated upon the earth. And it blocked out a portion of the sunlight for months. Of course, when I've taught this, I have a PowerPoint illustration that has many pictures of the oil wells burning in Iraq and how you can only see part of the sunlight coming through during the day. I mean, it's quite eerie. As a matter of fact, it covered a huge region of Iraq and that just that whole region, Iraq, and I think it reached all the way to Bahrain and other countries. But it took, we sent teams over there to try to put those wells out. Very difficult job. This was unprecedented at the time. No one had ever set 700 oil wells on fire and have them burn for nearly, what was that? 10 months, 9 months, whatever it was, the smoke could be seen from space, okay? That's how bad it was, and the pictures tell the story, but here's an interesting fact. In 1991, toward the end of 1991, a documentary was produced by the Kuwaiti Oil Company, and it was about extinguishing the burning wells, and it was entitled Bringing Back the Sun. So, folks, the fourth trumpet is very obvious and very clear. Now, here's what's interesting. Now, think about this. Where did this happen? Where did it happen? The primary area, Iraq, Kuwait. What was ancient Babylon? Where's the heat right now? What's going on now? What's about to throw us into World War III? All ISIS and Iraq and them threatening Jordan now, threatening Syria, threatening Israel. You're about to see how it is going to tie right back into the sixth trumpet. So let's move on. The fourth trumpet was the Gulf War, the burning of the 700 Iraqi oil wells that blocked out the sun, moon, and stars for 9 months, 10 months, whatever it was. And the Kuwaiti Oil Company did a documentary, Bringing Back the Sun. Wow. Yeah. So let's go to the fifth trumpet. Now, this one will take just a little bit longer. But, of course, this one, these last two, of course, I really had to seek the Lord because I said, I know what the sixth trumpet war is. The sixth trumpet war that's coming, the sixth trumpet is World War III that happens. Hang on a second. Getting a little choked up here. I guess the devil doesn't want me sharing this here. But anyway, the fifth trumpet. We read earlier in the program, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says the fifth trumpet, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He saw the smoke come out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and then he saw these things like locusts come out of the pit. Now, here's one of the misconceptions that I believe about the people say, oh, this hadn't happened. Well, first of all, where people believe that real locusts, that, you know, somehow real locusts that don't eat grass and trees come out of the bottomless pit, which is hell. I don't know where they get that from. Because what we have here is something happening in the spirit realm. Because it says an angel was given a key to the bottomless pit. We know the bottomless pit is hell. It is where Satan will be bound in hell for 1,000 years. It's not part of this physical world in the sense of you see it right now. Okay? But this angel was sent down, and these locusts were turned loose, right? And I remember as I started reading this, the Lord began to show me, you know, they had the faces of a man and the hair of women and breastplates, and they had tails like scorpions, but they flew and looked like locusts. And I'm like, there's no creature on the planet that looks like this. What is this? And the Lord said, what comes out of the bottomless pit? If I open up the bottomless pit, if I open up hell, what comes out of there? Fallen angels, demonic spirits, okay? Because we know from the book of 2 Peter and the book of Jude and other places that there are certain spirits, evil spirits, and fallen angels that are bound in the bottomless pit. Okay? So we see at this end time, one of the judgments is going to be to open that bottomless pit and release them out into the world. Now, I was asking the Lord, I said, well, if the fourth trumpet happened in 1991, then, of course, stands to reason, the fifth trumpet would have to happen after that. But I knew that we're getting very, very close to the sixth trumpet. So I began to say, Lord, what is the fifth trumpet? Honestly, I have not heard this from anyone else. I didn't hear anyone teach on it. I've never heard anyone except some of the traditional ideas. Oh, this is helicopters. These locusts are helicopters or something. And that this is war. But it says, listen, if it was war and it was helicopters, like it was military attack helicopters, like Apaches or Cobras or whatever, it says, you know, those things would kill men, right? Somebody would die, right? Apaches aren't made to love on people. So it says here that these locusts come out of the bottomless pit, but they are not allowed to kill men, right? But to torment them, okay? So now we see a spirit or something that will torment them. So as I begin to look at this, I realize this was a demonic release out of the bottomless pit. And that the reason God used the imagery of locust is because locust was a judgment in the Old Testament. God said to Solomon, you know, that he would bring forth the locust to devour their crops and their fields if they disobeyed him and they didn't live. But he said, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, you know, and he said, if the locusts come. And I thought, well, what locusts devour people's crops? Now, back then, people's crops, I mean, that was their life. That was their living. That's how they made a living. That's how they survived. And the Lord was like, these locusts ate people's crops and did it very quickly. And then I began to realize, oh, these locusts out of this bottomless pit, this horde from hell, is sent to devour something. Now, for most people in the world aren't farmers. But a lot of people have worked hard, a lot of years in different jobs and companies and careers, put a lot of money in the stock market and savings and 401ks. That's their living. That's their barns. That's their, you know, their livelihood. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. I said, Lord, what in the world is this? And he spoke to me. If I've ever heard God speak to me, he spoke to me very clear. He said, the fifth trumpet, he told me this. This was in 2011. He told me, he said, the fifth trumpet was the financial crisis and collapse of 2008. And I remember I was laying across the bed praying when he told me that. And I got up immediately to go do my research and confirm it, because I knew there was something significant that it said that these locusts devoured and caused men to be tormented. People would want to die for 5 months. Now, that's very specific, 5 months, right? So I started looking at the, you know, the collapse of the housing bubble and the bankruptcies of Lehman Brothers and all that stuff that happened in late in September 15th. It all started September 15th, 2008. Lehman Brothers, the fourth largest investment firm, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. And this was following a massive exodus of most of its clients and drastic losses in its stock, devaluation of its assets by credit rating agencies. The filing marked the largest bankruptcy in U.S. history and is thought to have played a major role in the unfolding of the late 2000s global financial crisis, you think, right? This sent triggers all over the world. Of course, the stock market at the time was about at 14,000, the Dow Jones, and it was running, you know, running high levels. Well, when this started, of course, there was bankruptcies to follow. This was getting toward the end of the Bush term. The Bush wanted a stimulus. You know, his Treasury Secretary and everybody was talking about, we may not have an economy on Monday. That was the Treasury Secretary. It says, during September, well, I'll just read this. During September, this is from Wikipedia article and a CNN report. During September 2008, the crisis hit its most critical stage in a dramatic meeting on September 18th following the 15th. Bankruptcy on the 15th, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke met with key legislators to propose a $700 billion emergency bailout. Bernanke reportedly told them, if we don't do this, we may not have an economy on Monday. The Emergency Economic Stabilization Act was implemented and Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, was signed into law on October 3rd, 2008. So Bush initiated this first stimulus, and of course it didn't work. The stock market continued to crash. It actually ended up crashing from about 14,000 down to 6,000. People's 401ks were broke. People automatically, their housing market crashed. people's houses weren't worth what they were before. I mean, it destroyed a lot of businesses, a lot of people's homes, a lot of people went bankrupt, a lot of people were foreclosed. Of course, that led to the election of Barack Hussein Obama, because that was at the heat of the election and everything. Of course, November of 2008, he's elected. Well, this problem continued. Obama and his team sought another stimulus from Congress. Congress said no. When Congress said no, the stock market dropped another 700 points. So eventually, of course, they were persuaded to do another stimulus package under Obama. Well, what's interesting, the crisis, the intense period of this crisis was from February 17th in 2009 was when Obama signed his stimulus package, and confidence was restored to the market, and people began to buy stocks again and invest again, and that's when the market kind of stabilized, and it was like this big critical period is over. Well, folks, it really wasn't the stimulus. The stimulus just put confidence back in people, gave the banks some money to borrow, to lend, so people could borrow money. But here's what's interesting. Another fact about that time period said, in those days, this is Scripture, Revelation 9, says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I did a little digging, and it said the 2008 financial collapse caused all kinds of emotional distress, depression, and suicidal thoughts, causing a drastic increase of calls to suicide hotlines. This event caused many, many, many men and women to want to die. They lost their entire savings. Many lost their jobs. Many lost their homes. These demonic locusts went forth and devoured people's livelihood, and they wanted to die. It says that the calls to suicide hotlines, some places went up, 60%, 100%. USA Today investigation confirmed that there was an increasing numbers of desperate souls that called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I mean, they logged record numbers. The increases in callers since the economy slid in Los Angeles, calls to the city's busiest suicide hotline increased by as much as 60% during the heat of the crisis. So men wanted to die, but death fled from them. Many of them decided not to commit suicide. Of course, the vast majority, death fled from them, but the intense period was 5 months. There's no question in my mind that the fifth trumpet was the 2008 financial collapse. Now, that brings us to the sixth trumpet. That brings us fast forward now to everything, to where we are. We are at the doorstep of the sixth trumpet war. Now, so we see the Bible prophesied within the seven trumpets, three world wars. We saw the first trumpet, World War I. We saw the second trumpet, World War II, specifically identified. Now, folks, I don't know how anybody could not believe the Bible when the Bible tells you, gives you details like a third part of the ship's destroyed and so on, gives you these details about the First World War, the Second World War, and then tells you there's going to be a third one that's going to be far worse than the other two, but then tells us exactly where it's going to happen, where it's going to start. See, folks, that's Revelation 9, verse 15. Let's look at it. Revelation 9, 15. And we've talked about this on the show before, but hear what it's saying. This book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, the beloved apostle of Jesus, in AD 96. Almost 2,000 years ago, he tells us as we reach the end times, as we approach the second coming of Jesus, we're going to have three world wars. We're going to have three wars, and he called them three woes, too. But he says here, the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loosed the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Folks, the Euphrates River runs, it starts in the country of Turkey. It runs through Syria, the entire length of the country of Syria. It runs through the entire length of the country of Iraq and touches Iran for 50 miles as it dumps into the Persian Gulf. God told us just about 2,000 years ago through the Apostle John in this great vision, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that there would be World War I, World War II, Wormwood, Chernobyl, a great event to block out the sun, a locust-devouring collapse that would last 5 months. And then he said there's going to be that third world war in the region of the Euphrates River that's going to kill one-third of mankind. And what do we see? We've seen in the last year plus a civil war with Muslim extremists in Syria trying to overthrow Assad, Obama and the U.S. getting on the wrong side of this thing. And we see is now the headlines this week, 95% of the Golan Heights on the Syrian side of the border taken over now by who is Al-Qaeda, who is ISIS, they're all the same. And they're 40 miles from Damascus. Now, why is that critical? Because if these radical Muslims take over the entire border with Israel and the Golan Heights area, and then they take Damascus, there is an ancient prophecy in Isaiah 17 that says that the city of Damascus will be turned into a heap of ruins by the children of Israel in one day. And it says when that event happens, all the nations, the people will look toward their maker and all the nations will rush with a rushing. That means they will freak out. You can read this in Isaiah 17. I was studying again the other day. Damascus is almost in ruins, but it says it will become a ruinous heap. Now, you've got to remember, this has never happened to Damascus. Damascus is the longest continuously inhabited city in the history of the world. The Bible says will be a ruinous heap, and it will be done by the children of Israel. We are so close. We had the general, the chief of staff for the Israelis, General Gantz, stated that with all of these fighters, Islamic fighters on the Syrian side now taking over Syria, threatening Jordan, getting closer to the border of Israel, of course, we know what they're doing in Iraq. And all the threats and the weapons that are taken, the Scud missiles, now we have them parading Scud missiles that can reach Israel from Iraq. We have all this going on with these 50,000-plus Islamic militants. And, of course, General Gantz says we're going to deal with this menace. And we have already the Jordanian Special Forces moving against them. The Jordanian Air Force has already moved against them. If Israel gets involved, a lot of the Arabs and the Muslims will unite and try to attack them. We are at the tinderbox here. We are at the verge. And who would have thought that in a matter of weeks, just a few weeks, that the nation that houses most of the Euphrates River, Iraq, would be taken over by radical Muslims? Who would have dreamed that? Captured enough weapons for 200,000 United States weapons. Who would have dreamed that this would have happened? But right now we have the makings of what is going to begin in the Euphrates River region, just like the Bible said 2,000 years ago, World War III, the sixth trumpet. Folks, five trumpets have blown. Five judgments have happened. We're on the sixth one, but see, this is what's devastating about this one. He says that this six-trumpet war only lasts a little over a year. It says one-third of mankind is killed. Now, God help us if that one-third of mankind is the whole world. I'm hoping it's just contained to the region. But if it's one-third of mankind, that's 2.3, 2.4 billion people. That means a massive worldwide nuclear war, biological, chemical, whatever it ends up being. Hear me, folks. Why did God give us such specific warnings? First of all, he wanted us to know that he is the creator. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The God of the Bible, Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, his name that is the name that is above every name, his name Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah. He wanted us to know there are no other gods beside him. There is no other way to eternal life. There is no other truth. The Quran can't even touch Bible prophecy. Not even come close to it, folks. The Quran can't. The Hindu Vedas. There's no religious right. Can't come near it at all. God wanted his world, his people. And you know, here's the thing. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three parts, but one God of creation, wants everyone to be saved. He said he's not, the book of 2 Peter, he said this very clearly. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance means you change your heart, what you believe, what you think, and you change your actions. You turn away from sin, you turn away from unbelief, you turn away from rebellion, you turn away from wickedness and evil and lust and drunkenness and drugs and homosexuality and perversion. You turn away from the things that God calls sin, that God hates, and you turn to Jesus and you let the blood of Jesus shed on the cross wash your sins away, and you fall on your knees and you let him be Lord of your life, and you get filled with his Holy Spirit, and you begin to experience what true love is and true peace and true joy and true hope of the future. Listen, this world is going down the tubes. The only hope, the only real, it's not going to be, the United Nations is not going to save us. Oh, it's going to look for a little while like they stopped this stuff, the Antichrist and the United Nations and the peace treaties and the false prophets and the aliens coming and everything else that's going to happen. Oh, it's going to look like they've saved us, they've helped us, and it's only going to last for a short time. They're going to try to get you to take a mark, a pledge of allegiance, of loyalty, of worship, of adoration of the new world government and the new world leader, and they're going to get you to try to submit to Satan through that system and reject Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if you do, you're damned for all eternity in hell. That's the plan, to get a chip in you, to get a mark on you, whether it's an electronic tattoo or some kind of RFID chip planted in you, and you pledge an allegiance to the new world government and the world leader. And really what you're doing if you do that, you're pledging allegiance to Satan. You're bowing the knee to the devil. And God says if you take that mark, if you worship the beast in his image, if you go down that road, you will be damned in hell for all eternity. And why we do what we do, me, Brother Kevin, Billy, preachers that are willing to preach on this, the reason we do what we do is we want you to be warned. We don't want you to be deceived by these people, to compromise, to fall, and to be lost in hell forever for your rebellion and betrayal of the Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we do what we do. And that's why God put these prophecies in the Bible so specific. So the only way you could miss them is if you just shut your eyes and turn your head and say, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. You know, I've had people tell me that. I don't want to know.
I've heard that.
You better.
Yeah, you got to. Choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. No, definitely. It's time now that people have to realize there's not a political party, a human being on this earth that's going to change these things. It's all going to come to pass, as it said in the Bible. We need to turn to Jesus Christ sincerely, consistently. And time's running out, folks. We say these things to you because we care. You know, we don't want to see anyone perish. But like I said before, choices have consequences. You know, I pray that your choices are good ones.
Well, if these choices aren't good ones, we're in trouble.
Amen.
See, this is what terrifies me. There's a lot of people, and I've said this on this program, but I'm going to say it again. A lot of people think, oh, I'll see the Antichrist, I'll see the world government, I'll see the mark, I won't take the mark. No, if this war, this sixth trumpet war, this third world war foretold in Revelation 9, if this is one third of the entirety of mankind, you may never, ever get a chance to see the Antichrist, the mark. You know, a lot of people think you're going to be raptured. Of course, I touched on that in the beginning of this whole program tonight. No, we're going to be here for it all. And are you going to be really, are you going to be ready? What if the bomb goes off in your city? What if there's no warning? You know, the Lord's spoken to me about Watch Portland, Oregon. Hey, Portland, Oregon. What if you're the first to go? Are you ready? A lot of people think that they, I believe in Jesus. I go to church once in a while. I'm a pretty decent person. Jesus said many will come to me in that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in the name and in thy name cast out demons and done many wonderful works? And then he says, I will look at them and I will say, depart from me. What? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you lawless one. You didn't do the will of God. He said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things? He said, you know what? No, only he that does the will of my Father. Well, then again, this is Matthew 7 I'm quoting right here. Jesus said to the lukewarm church of Laodicea in Revelation, he said, be hot or be cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Literally, the word means vomit you out of my mouth. You made me sick because you played both sides of the fence. You tried to play with the world, play with sin, play with compromise. You never really loved me with all your heart. You never really got in, got involved, got on fire, took up your cross, and really got serious about the Lord. And you know what? Hey, did Jesus get serious about us? He got so serious, he was like, you know what? I'm going to go down there. I'm going to take on a human body. I'm going to let them beat me, whip me with a whip until my back is shredded, put a crown of thorns on my head, strip me naked and nail me to a cross so I can save some of them who will listen. Amen. Folks, he got serious about us. Amen, brother. We got to get real serious. Listen, if you're listening to this program tonight and you know you're away from God, you're lukewarm, you're backslidden, you're living in sin and compromise, it is time. It's time to get your life right with God. You can call us. You can email. My name, my email is Dean Odle, DEANODLE 111 at Yahoo. You can go to deanodle.org. You can find us. You can get in touch with us. And we'll pray with you. And we'll counsel you. And we'll lead you. And we'll do what we can. There are those of you who need to get right with God and then get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can go to deanodle.org, DEANODLE, and get a free PDF book about the tongues of fire, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we will help you get on fire and get close to Jesus. So give us a call because we'd love to help you. Listen, we are out of time tonight. We're glad that you've been with us. This is Prophecy Quake here in Alabama. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, with Billy Painter and Kevin Wilkinson. And we hope to see you next week, same time, same place.
Been listening to Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook us at Dean Odle Ministries.